Well, Steve, congratulations on a stunning win last week. You've now been with Tiger for 10 of his 11 majors. How would you place this in terms of the other majors that he's won?
Well, as far as the ball striking would be concerned, I've never seen him hit the ball better. It was definitely the best ball striking tournament that he's had in a major. So, that was fantastic, obviously. But I think the one that will always stand out in my memory will be the one, the Masters, when he won, fourth consecutive major to hold all four trophies. But, this one would rank right up there.
There'd been so much discussion about Tiger leading into this week because of the issues surrounding his father and because of the miscut at the US Open. I know he played great at the Western Open, but were you confident leading into this week that he could produce something like this?
Well, I think I even said it on my own website that on the Thursday night after the first round of the Western Open, out of the blue, if you like, he just decided that he wanted to eliminate, or try and eliminate, the one problem that he constantly has with his golf swing, and that he dips and moves his head quite a bit. And the instant results that produced in that tournament, and then obviously practiced quite a bit between the Western Open and the British Open, I mean, he was hitting the ball as pure as he could hit it. So, I was pretty confident. We adopted a very conservative game plan last week, as you would have known. Mm. And I was pretty confident that, you don't know you're going to win, but I certainly knew he'd be in contention last week.
So how was that fault picked up? Was that something that Hank Haney picked up, you'd picked up, or Tiger just picked up himself?
Well, sort of between the three of us, it's something, it's the one thing that probably causes a lot of problems in Tiger's swing. So, we all just decided after the first round that it's time to sort of start working on this. And we were on the range till dark that night, which is very unusual for Tiger, actually at a tournament. He doesn't practice much when he's playing at a tournament. But he's worked on this very hard over the last couple of weeks, and he's hitting some real quality shots. I mean, last week he literally only missed four iron shots in 72 holes, and that's pretty good.
Well, no stone was left unturned, really, as far as the preparation was concerned. Was it an easy course to come to terms with? As far as preparation was concerned, was it something that Tiger quickly came to terms with, Hoylake?
Yeah, well, we went over there a bit earlier. Obviously, Tiger having never seen the course before, so we actually went over on Saturday and got there Saturday and played about eight or nine holes on Saturday and then played Sunday, and it was sort of halfway through Sunday's round. It was kind of my idea to start with it. I said, hey, let's just eliminate all the bunkers on this course. Take the double bogey out of play, because the bunkers are all penal bunkers. If you hit it in a fairway trap, that you can't advance to the green. You either go out sideways or you just hit it out with the sand on, 60, 100 yards in front of you. So I said to him, let's just eliminate the bunkers and make the course play a little bit longer, but just take the bunkers right out of play. And we did that the next practice round, and then we decided that's the way we're going to play the course. So we stuck to that game plan the whole week.
Yeah, well, as you said, the decision was made to take virtual. I mean, I guess you carried the driver in the bag. I mean, you might have used it once or twice throughout the course of the week, but it was really pretty much a case of irons and...
We used occasional three went off the tee, but we only hit the driver once on the first round, but that was the only time the driver hit, and then there was the occasional three, but pretty much all irons.
A two-shot lead. Well, just before we go on with that, you talk about those irons, that shot that he hit to the 14th. I think it was on Friday, wasn't it, in the second round that he held the four iron?
Yeah.
And then again on Sunday, he hit that four iron on 14 again to about, I don't know, maybe 15 feet. That was another great four iron in there. That looked to me like it was an absolute quality shot.
Yeah, that was probably the shot that sort of turned, was, at that stage, Tiger's lead had been reduced to one, and that's 12 and 14 are the two hardest holes in the course. And that shot, you're hitting to a very, well, the way he was playing the hole was laying quite a way back off the tee, and obviously he had to go on with a long iron there every day, and it's very narrow green. But, four is a good score on that hole, so on Sunday to hit it up there with a chance to make a three, and did, that was the real turning point for Sunday. I mean, if we had made a par or a bogey there, the pressure was going to be on.
Mm. A two-shot lead playing the last, obviously still, even though he looked in control of the tournament, it was still potentially a dangerous second to the last, wasn't it?
Well, I for him, the way we'd played the week, I didn't really see that as a dangerous shot, to be honest with you. I mean, we just decided to hit it over the back of the green, take the trouble out of play, and then, you know, make whatever you make from there. So as well as he was hitting the ball, I mean, there was no chance of it being in the grandstands or anything. So not really, it wasn't a dangerous shot as well as he was playing. And we, same thing there, we just took the bunkers out of play and flew it into the middle of the green. It ran over the back of the green, and then there was no trouble.
Hmm. That moment, Steve, when you and he hugged after he had holed the putt, you know, obviously it was a moment of mixed emotions for him, but I guess to some extent that he so openly involved you in it must be a moment that you'll treasure for the rest of your life.
Yeah, well, as most people know, you know, Tiger doesn't show a lot of emotion, and that's the first time he's really shown a lot of emotion. But, you know, I said to him going down the, after he'd hit a second shot and, you know, safely put it behind the green and knew it was all over, I said to him, hey, you know, this one's for your pops, that he's up there watching out after you. I said, you've had a, you know, good week with a lot of fortune in that, and he's looking out after you. So, yeah, then he sort of came to the fact that when he held the putt, he broke down, basically. And I've never seen that side of Tiger during a golf tournament. I certainly saw it at his funeral, but I've never seen that side of him at a golf tournament. So, yeah, it was just, he just said, you know, he just felt all of his emotions come out at once. So it was an interesting time, obviously.
I could sense, just watching the body language, as you mentioned, that walking between the second shot and the 18th green, it must have been when you made that comment to him, because you could sense that he was on the verge at that point of letting the emotions go, but he just kept them in check for another 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I sort of sensed it as well. I could tell just by his mannerisms and the way his eyes were looking that, you know, something was going to happen for sure.
Hoy Lake is an open venue. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, tremendous course. The wind didn't blow very much last week, and they had to make the pin positions fairly difficult. But, you know, the scoring was pretty low. I guess the golf course, they haven't played there, obviously, for a lot of years, and the course is only about 300 yards longer than it was then. But realistically, if they were to play there again, I think they could probably just make a couple of those par fives into par fours and make it a 70. Hence, the scores wouldn't look so low. So, but yeah, it was a great venue. There's a lot, you know, potential danger on every hole with all the bunkers, and you know, obviously they haven't had very little rain there this summer, and the course was as hard and fast as you could get, and the wind didn't blow much until the last day. So, you know, hence you wouldn't have thought at the start of the week that 18 under would win, but you know, like I said, the conditions have just allowed the ball to go so far. And there was very little wind, hence the scoring was low. But I think if they did go back there, which I'm sure they would, I think they might consider making another par 70.
Absolutely. Part of that preparation that we talked about for Tiger was the hiring of a hotel for his entourage, including yourself and a few others, I'm sure. Obviously, it was a plan that worked, because it really probably gave him that privacy and seclusion that he so desperately needs in the week of a major.
Well, that's funny that you should say that, because in fact, Tiger didn't. That was just hearsay. We actually read, whilst we were over there, firstly we read that Tiger was staying in Michael Owens' house. He's an English football player. And then secondly, we heard that he'd hired out a hotel. He would never do something like that. He, each time he plays in a major championship, he rents a house, like a lot of the other players do, and stays fairly close to the course, so he doesn't have to deal with the traffic and stays in the house. But it's funny how all these things get printed. That's just the media for you. You can't ever rely on what you read.
Well, that's nice to have had that put straight, Steve. Yes, I guess you can never believe what you necessarily read. Much of the talk now, Steve, is on the target of 18 majors. I'd imagine the only thing really that could possibly stop Tiger would be a lack of desire or indeed family commitments. But it's hard to imagine that this guy's ever going to lack desire.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all know that's what Tiger's based his whole career on. Is, you know, he wants to get past Jack's record and be the greatest player that's ever played the game. His desire will never wane until he gets to that time. That's what keeps the guy burning desire. That's what makes him practice every day, and that's what he lives for. So, you know, barring an injury or, you know, some sudden illness or something, he's committed to doing that.
Much was made of Tiger's trip to New Zealand to be with you on your marriage to Kirsty, and I guess to take part in the car race and the bungee jumping, etc. I guess in many ways, to a large extent, that sums up Tiger Woods, doesn't it? Because he's kind of a very rounded individual now. He sees life being more than just golf. It's obviously a huge part of it, but he does things outside of the square that probably makes him that complete individual.
Yeah, I mean, as he's gotten older, you know, obviously when you start out and you're straight out of college and you're onto the tour, you only see the golf side of things. And as he's gotten older, obviously he's got business interests and, you know, he's got other interests out of golf. And so when he went to New Zealand, you know, he made a lot of friends in New Zealand and a lot of people that wouldn't normally follow golf, particularly from the racing environment, they got to meet Tiger and participate with him. You know, we've had all sorts of congratulation notes from people that I know wouldn't normally watch him golf, but now they feel that connection with Tiger. So, you know, like for Tiger to go to New Zealand, we had a great time there, and a lot of people sort of feel connected to Tiger through my involvement caddying for him. So the support we get from New Zealand is outstanding.
Mm. Well, Steve, looking ahead now to Medina, it's only a few weeks away now. You've caddied there previously, obviously in 1999, your first major win as a caddy, and Tiger's second major win as a player at the 1999 US PGA. You'd also caddied there in the US Open in 1994 for Ray Floyd. Your thoughts on Medina and how things are looking as far as Tiger's concerned for that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that it seems like every year when the PGA Championship comes around, the talk is it's the longest course ever played. Of course, last year at Whistling Straits was a record length, and of course, this year it's even longer. So I keep saying, well, it's not going to be too many years we're going to be playing a golf course that's 8,000, but you know, close to the 7,800 mark now. You know, obviously got very fond memories of Medina. That was a very important part of our relationship with myself caddying for Tiger, you know, to prove you can get through the first major and win a major.
Hmm.
So that was an important step there. And, you know, he likes the course there, and obviously he's got fond memories. You know, it's a very long golf course, so in actual, you know, when it is long, you do eliminate a lot of the field just purely by the simple length of the course. So, but, yeah, I mean, he's playing the last two tournaments, obviously being second and first, but we need to do a bit of practice with the driver, hence only having hit it once at Quarry Lake. But, you know, hey, you never can bet against this guy, you know. So, you know, he's played third in the Masters, first in the British Open, and obviously missed the cut at the US Open under some difficult circumstances. So, you know, he'll be the favourite, as he always is, and I'd be very surprised if he's not in contention come the back nine Sunday at Medina.
You're absolutely right. You can't bet against him, as I'm sure a lot of people have found out to their cost in more recent times. Steve, just on a personal note, you've had the hand injury earlier this year. Is that well and truly healed now?
Yeah. I mean, it's limited my own golf, but it's not real important. As long as I can hang on to the golf bag and race the stock car, I'm pretty happy.
Do you enjoy playing the game when you get a chance, or is it a passion for you, or do you just do it every now and again?
Yeah, no, it's not a passion for sure. I mean, motor racing is my passion, but the times that I do go and play golf, I certainly enjoy it. But, you know, having just had a child 10 months ago, so golf has sort of taken a back seat. In fact, I've had 9 holes this entire year so far. But yeah, obviously I still love the game, and there'll be time for that later down the line.
Mm. And what about marriage and fatherhood? How's it gelling with a world-traveling caddy?
Yeah. Oh, hey, it's great. I mean, it's when you live the life and the existence that we do, traveling all the time, it's lovely to have a nice partner and wife. She travels with me most of the time, and now we've got a young boy, and he's adapted to the travel very well. And you know, he obviously doesn't know what city he's in at this age in his life, but he's travelled a lot so far, and he's good as gold. So it's all good fun. It's nice to come back after a day on the golf course and have your family there.
Yeah, I think that summarises a pretty good time in the life of Steve Williams, and obviously a very good time in the life for Tiger Woods, and it's hard to imagine that it's not going to get even better in the not-too-distant future. Steve, always good to catch up with you. Thanks for giving us some time, and Tiger's back at the Buick next week, and then the PGA just a couple of weeks after that. So good luck for those tournaments and for what lies ahead.
Thanks, Bruce. Good to talk to you.